All right, everybody, it's that time of year. You just heard from our sponsors. It's the football roundtable. So before we get into the football roundtable, I do have to do this because I'm a sucker for good documentaries. So as you know, Sun Records sponsors the podcast. We thank them for their support. And I, as many of you know, I love Sun Records. But there's this new documentary out about Jerry Lee Lewis. It's the last documentary they ever did. It's called Trouble in Mind. I watched it last night, and it was a very good documentary. It's a lot of old interviews and a lot of restored footage, but there's the last recording session he did in 2020, the Gospel album he did. There's actual footage of him playing the piano. So my dad, who's a huge Jerry Lee Lewis fan, thought that was fascinating and loved it. But check it out when it comes out. It's supposed to be in theaters in November. Tickets will go on sale in Memphis at the end of October. Go to jerryleelewis.com to purchase your tickets. It's a pretty good documentary. A lot of old footage from the 1950s. They colorized it and stuff, which I enjoyed. You get to hear a lot from his perspective because they found old interviews that he had on, I guess, film, because no one knew he had these footage till they cleaned out his house. So just check it out. But enough said. Speaking of someone that loved the draft expert, a good transition. As Jerry Lee said, he was a very good boy. Just need to change his name. It's the football roundtable. Now, last year, if you would have told me the Giants were going to keep Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley and make the playoffs, I would have said you were nuts. But now Daniel Jones is supposed to be a top five quarterback in the NFC. So let's go to the draft expert first. The Eagles had probably they overachieved. I don't know how he feels about it, but how are you guys doing? I mean, how are you guys feeling about your teams?
I don't overachieving. They stayed healthy. That was the key. You know, that's the key. They had all their starters through the playoff run. That doesn't happen often. So I think that was a key part of their success last year. And, you know, Jalen Hurts, you know, making some growth and adding A.J. Brown, another weapon, Devontae Smith in his second year. So, and a healthy offensive line. That was the key to their success last year.
I agree with you, but they lost the Super Bowl in the most heartbreaking ways. I don't know if we talked about this. How did you feel about that when that happened? What was your initial reaction? The audience has been dying to know.
Well, obviously I wasn't happy, but I wasn't as mad as you would think. Going into the season, I didn't expect them to be in the Super Bowl. I was just looking for Jalen Hurts to make a little bit of an improvement, you know, maybe win a playoff game, show some growth as a team. He showed more growth than I thought he would. So, yeah, I was disappointed, but I wasn't devastated by it.
That's fair enough, and we'll get to the Eagles in a minute, but let's bring on Coach Weber, another fan favorite. This is his yearly spot, as they said, and they made sure to say that they wanted Coach Weber, too, just as much as they wanted the draft expert. So the Dallas Cowboys are in a very interesting situation, in my opinion. I think the Giants on paper could be better than the Dallas Cowboys. I think that they let a lot of pieces go on defense. Dak Prescott is a turnover machine. Kind of reminds me of 2010 Eli Manning with all the turnovers.
Oh, my goodness.
Has.
Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer, yeah. Eli Manning.
Just put him in.
Put Dak in the Hall of Fame.
But there's one thing Eli did that Dak has not done, win a couple championships. But, Coach, how are you feeling about the Cowboys this year?
Well, I'm not sure what you mean by they lost anything on defense. They basically return their defense. They basically, you know, return the majority of the team outside of like Dalton Schultz and some other part pieces. You know, is it optimism? I'm not sure about that. I think the front office, you know, when you talk about front offices, the Eagles front office, I think, is playing chess and the rest of the NFC East is still playing checkers. So, but it comes down to health. Like the draft expert said, if you can stay healthy when the playoffs start, I think you have a shot. And they started off really poorly with the health thing, with losing what would probably been their highest impact rookie, which was Overshown, who got hurt, tore his ACL last game.
Well, the Cowboys, I think, are in an interesting situation because what about Mike McCarthy? I know he's back, but how much longer do we think he's going to be with the Cowboys? I mean,
well, I think he took ownership of the offense this year, so he's going to be calling the plays. And I think if you go back to those interceptions and you hear what they're talking about in camp, I think there was a lot of freedom in the Kellen Moore offense for the receivers to make adjustments mid-route. You know, there wasn't a whole lot of timing and there wasn't a whole lot of shared knowledge between the identity of the play and what the receivers were trying to do versus what the quarterback was trying to do. And I think McCarthy took over and he's bringing the true West Coast offense where it's more timing based, you know, certain step drops mean certain routes and the receivers are going to be at exact spots based off the play call, not adjustment. So I think you'll see a drop in those interceptions. I do think though that McCarthy put himself out there that if he doesn't come through, and you got Dan Quinn sitting on the other side of the, you know, the conference room. I think he's the guy that will get attention for head coaching jobs. And if Jerry doesn't like what Mike does, he doesn't want to lose Dan Quinn. I could see that switch happening.
Before we get back to the Eagles, how do you feel about this situation with Dan Quinn and Mike McCarthy? Were you happy that Mike McCarthy was brought back because of continuity and he took responsibility? Or were you like, all right, we just need to change things up here because this isn't working?
I like McCarthy. I think he's, you know, he's completely different than Jason Garrett. And I think it's different, though, you know, when you're the head coach and you're not invested in calling plays, I think you have to give freedom to your assistants. So you have to live with some things maybe you don't like completely, but that's the way you have to do it, you know. I'm happy he's back. I do think it's kind of exciting to see him calling plays again, but it is he hasn't done it for a couple of years and the game's pretty quick. So we'll have to see, you know, how quickly he gets back on the horse.
And one last thing about the Cowboys, and then we're going to get into the drafts and the Eagle draft and the Cowboys draft. We'll save the Giants for the end because obviously I'll talk about that, but with Zeke being gone, how does that make you feel? Because the Cowboy fan base, from what I've gauged, and I'm not in it, half of the fan base wanted Zeke to stay, and the other half wanted him gone and were so happy when he left.
Well, I think he priced himself out of Dallas, unfortunately. And that's, you know, I think Jerry Jones, who's the ultimate as far as making publicity, wanted Zeke to be there. Because he knows he's an icon. You know, he'll draw fans and coverage and things like that as far as popularity. But when you come down to it, the price tag didn't meet the production anymore. And, you know, it's not Zeke's fault. He's just getting a little bit older. I get it. It's a business. He moves on. I think Jerry Jones would have liked to have him, but couldn't figure out a way to save face and take a pay cut to stay. That wasn't going to happen. It'll be different. I think they're definitely a little thin in the running back department. A whole bunch of guys that are unproven. So, and you get it, you know, I know they're counting on Tony Pollard, but one injury to him and you've got guys running the football that nobody's heard of and have never really carried the load.
That's what I was about to say. I know Tony Pollard, he took the qualifying, not the qualifying offer, the Saquon Barkley had the same franchise tag. So he obviously knew it's a prove it year for him. And we saw with Saquon Barkley last year, what that can do to a running back. But you're right, one injury and then he's, I don't even know who's the backup Sam. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, it's a guy by the name of Rico Dowdle, who's from South Carolina. He's been hurt for the last 2-3 years. They had Ronald Jones in, who's been hurt in camp, so he hasn't been really playing, but I think it's going to be Rico Dowdle. The other thing to think about it is Zeke did take all those fourth and ones, third and ones, you know, goal line runs, which are really tough on the body. So that Tony's going to have to do those. And that'll add to the wear and tear, which he has never really had to deal with. Even in college, he was not a featured running back.
I will say this. I mean, it wouldn't shock me if he was on a pitch count to start the season. So you're going to have to ask these running backs, and I don't know how you guys feel about it. You've watched a lot more football than I have, so you would know. I just feel like these other running backs Dallas have are going to have to step up, and that might cost Dallas a game early on in the season.
Yeah, I think it's a concern. It's definitely a concern.
All right, so transitioning to the draft. The Eagles had a really good draft considering who they picked up. But let's get to the draft expert who had the whole draft board. How did he feel about the draft?
The Eagles, well, it's weird. Like Jalen Carter, high risk, high reward. As long as he stays out of trouble, I mean, his talent's undeniable. He's that good. Probably the best player in the draft. And then they get Nolan Smith, end of the first round. He has things you can't teach. I mean, he doesn't have the prototypical size, but their defensive coordinator, I'm sure, going to find packages to use him. The guy runs a 4.3. You know, that's just – he had some plays in preseason where he can just run things down. And then there were two guys they drafted, and I remember emailing before. I said, watch out for Sidney Brown, the safety from Illinois. He's a Philly kind of guy. He just flies around like his hair's on fire. And then the other guy I mentioned, a sleeper in the draft, a lineman, Tyler Steen. He fit the Eagles mold. He's an athletic tackle. They can move him to guard. He gives them some depth. He can play. He's backing up left tackle, can play some guard. So I was happy with their draft. And they made the trade for Swift, too, as part of the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about the Eagles, their draft class isn't going to be – like the Giants' draft class is going to be asked to step into some big roles this year, which could be tough to watch because there's obviously growing pains in every sport. The Eagles' draft class, and you would know this more than I would, so correct me if I'm wrong, they kind of get to watch because all the Eagles' stars that we thought were going to retire or leave – they all kind of came back. I mean, maybe one left, but most of them came back.
No, they've had that luxury. That's because they've had some veterans in there. It's like their defensive tackle position. 3 years ago, they drafted Milton Williams. And now he's in his third year. And then they drafted Jordan Davis, D-tackle. And now they got Jalen Carter. So they have this, you know, they can be right. They don't have to get thrust in. They can sit and watch and learn. And then they have that now with their two corners that are getting up there in age that they're going to have probably for like 2-3 years. So now they drafted Ringo from Georgia. They have Joe from Alabama. They have some young guys that don't have to get thrust into play right away. Gives them good depth. Down there, they don't have to throw rookies in. I am concerned about their – I know linebackers, they're kind of the forgotten thing, kind of like running backs are on offense. The linebackers, the Eagles just don't invest in it, and they are super, super thin right now, linebacker. If one of them goes down, they're in trouble.
Now, your secondary in general is getting old. I mean, James Bradbury's, what is he, 32 now? And
Slay, no, he's younger than that. Slay's the oldest one.
Slay's in his mid-30s or early 30s. Is that a concern for you? Is like, did they draft anybody that you could – or pick up anybody that you could see, like – okay, Slay's down with an injury this week because as you get older, your body doesn't recover as fast.
Well, they had a guy they drafted a couple years ago, Zach McPherson, but he just tore his Achilles, so mm-hmm. that hurts them in depth. But again, they got the fourth rounder Ringo to develop. They had a guy last year from Alabama they stashed on the practice squad. He came up a little bit, Josh Jobe. And there's a couple other guys that they had on the practice squad last year. And the guy that's kind of interesting – see if they can get him on the practice squad. According to Eli Ricks from Alabama, he played at LSU as a freshman. He was like a freshman All-American, went to Alabama, and didn't pan. He was projected as a possible first-round pick. And then last year, I don't know if he was in the doghouse there, but didn't play a lot. They got him as an undrafted free agent. His downside is he doesn't have he has great size, but he doesn't have the long speed, but they have a bunch of young guys there that they can hopefully develop in case something happens.
So what I hear is the Eagles just have a whole machine and they're just going to run through the NFC East for another couple
of years. No, I don't think that. I think their schedule is going to be difficult. Again, it's going to come down to health. I mean, yeah, you're going to lose some guys with some time, but they do have some young guys that have been around for a year or two that can, they can hopefully step in and give them some time if needed.
Well, don't worry. We'll get to the record prediction at the end, like always. But switching over to Dallas, how did you feel about their draft in general, and I guess free agency signings?
Well, the one thing that they did well was make some trades. You know, they brought in Gilmore and they brought in Cooks, two veteran guys, one on the defense, one on the offense. The draft, I think, was pretty safe. You know, they went with Mozzie Smith, which in the first round, a big nose guard type player who's no flash. You know, it's not going to be anything to be excited about. And then they, you know, get a tight end from Michigan as well. Again, a very safe type pick. I don't think there's any flash. And I talked about the third rounder who was probably in the preseason was the guy who was flashing the most, but he just tore his ACL. So I don't think they'll get much from this draft class. They do have Deuce Vaughn, which everybody loves, a Darren Sproles type of player, everybody roots for him. But again, that's a gimmick type player. I don't think you'll see a whole lot from the draft class this particular year.
I guess going off of injuries, because I brought it up earlier, my biggest concern for Dallas, or one of them, is Dak Prescott. He always seems to miss time. Who is their backup quarterback this year that's going to need to fill in?
It's Cooper Rush again, who went he's 5-1 overall as a starter. Last year was 4-1, but you know, they definitely don't play the same style, you know, with him in. They went really conservative, ran the ball a lot, which then puts the pressure on the running backs to hold up. You know, so you're right. It Dak has had some injuries the last couple of years, and that's a major concern for them, because obviously Cooper Rush is not going to win you a playoff game. You know, he's not like in the 90s when they had Bernie Kosar and Steve Berline and those guys that could step in and actually win games for you. That's just not going to happen. And, you know, like the draft expert said, health is by far the biggest factor. So, it's a tough one. Yeah.
Well, I guess transitioning to the Giants just for me real quick, and then we'll get into more. I want to hear some other thoughts about before we get to the predictions. The Giants right now, they did everything I wanted last year. They re-signed Daniel Jones to a contract I like, and on paper it looks like, whoa, Daniel Jones got a lot of money. But if things don't work out, they can just cut him after 2 years, and with the cap continuing to go up, 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 it won't really look bad. Saquon Barkley's back on a one-year deal, and he did something I truly respect and I didn't think was going to happen. He signed before training camp started. And as on paper, it says, oh, he signed for $12 million. But if you look in the contract, he really just signed for the franchise tag. He has to hit so many astronomical numbers, which I don't think he's going to hit, that he really just said, all right, I'm just going to put the team first, which is very rare in today's NFL or in sports in general. And I'm just going to come play. I don't want this to be a whole saga during training camp. They had a really good draft. The center I wanted, I'm blanking on his name, I apologize. I've been up since 6 in the morning. Thank you. The center that I wanted, and I said this, I think, in the email chat or the text chat we have, I would have picked him first overall. I think one of the Giants' biggest struggles the past few years was center. You had Nick Gates, or you had just a convertible route, just whoever you wanted to pick would be center. So I think that the guy they picked up, he's going to have growing pains, but I think he could be really good and open up the running lane, because let's just be honest, Daniel Jones, his arm's okay. I know he added 10 to 15 pounds of muscle, I read today, but he's really a running quarterback. He's, what do they call him, Vanilla Vic? That's what they call Daniel Jones. So it's really, we're kind of in the same spot we were last year, where it's put up or shut up again, except this time, people are saying the Giants have a tougher schedule, where, in my opinion, to me, the schedule is about the same. I know they have to go out to San Francisco and stuff, but they brought in some pieces I like. Darren Waller, I like. They had the draft I wanted, but, again, it's health and just hoping that these rookies can step up like they did last year. Like Daniel Bellinger last year was a huge pickup for the Giants. What is he going to have the same production? We know that Waller and Saquon Barkley have injury history. Are the rookies they drafted, are they going to step up? Because the corner they drafted, I think is going to start week one now. So it's just about step up and no injuries. And Daniel Jones is also very injury prone. I'll say it myself. But I don't know if you guys have anything to add about the Giants or if I covered everything.
Well, the problem is that, again, it's a tough division. I mean, it's not the NFC least anymore. All the teams, I mean, I guess you can even say the Commanders, they're just basically a quarterback away. I mean, they've put so much draft capital in their defense. I mean, their defensive line would be really good. Yeah, I mean, but now they probably have the most question marks at quarterback of all the teams.
Yeah,
The Commanders also have the interesting storyline of Bieniemy being over there and as an offensive coordinator after living under Andy's wing all these years in Kansas City. He's out on his own now. He's got to make his reputation now.
Your reports come out that the players already were mad at him. They didn't like his demeanor. I guess he's been a little rough on the players, and I guess Rivera had to step in and mediate a little bit already.
Can't yell at anybody anymore.
No.
did that shock you that he left the Chiefs? Because that kind of caught me off guard when he left the Chiefs. I thought he was going to stay with the Chiefs. Andy Reid, who was contemplating retirement last year, I thought he only has a couple years left, and then it was going to be, okay, this is the enemy's job.
In a tough spot because he's there. He didn't get a head coaching job. Is that because maybe there are some issues people don't know of, or he had to get underneath out of Andy Reid's shadow? Everybody says Andy Reid was the mastermind. So maybe he had to go somewhere else and prove himself that, hey, it wasn't all Andy Reid.
Yeah, I agree. I think he was, if he really wanted that, you know, shot at being a head coach, I think he had to make this move. He had to.
I agree with you guys, but if I was him, of course, if I was him, I want to prove myself, but also I'd be saying I'm stepping into a really good situation when Andy Reid leaves because Pat Mahomes is the best quarterback in the league. And he's just so athletic, Pat Mahomes. I wish the Giants had a guy like Patrick Mahomes. But Daniel Jones is – I'm fine with him right now. But another big story, and this was an audience question, your thoughts on Aaron Rodgers going to the Jets and the whole Hard Knocks situation. They got – really, they're a star-studded team on paper, but do we think it's going to be an explosion? Like, is it going to go sour like the Mets this year? I know it's a different sport. Or do we think the Jets are finally going to break through?
I mean, it is. It's another. It could be a boom or bust. You know, if it works out for them, great. But if not, boy, it could be drama central over there. Makes me think of the Eagles' dream team, and they brought all those people in. Boy, did that set us up for failure. So there's a lot of pressure on them there.
It's a quarterback-driven league, though. And you saw what happened when Peyton Manning went to the Broncos. You saw what happened with Tom Brady going to the Buccaneers. It's such a quarterback-driven league that these guys can make a difference instantly, not only with their play, but what they bring as far as discipline and kind of expectations. So I think he's got a little window here. I don't know if the Jets have enough. You know, I don't know if they have enough around him. He didn't bring in guys like, you know, like Peyton Manning went to Denver and he got DeMarcus Ware to come to Denver, and you know, Brady went and got Gronk. You know, so like, I don't see. You know, he brought Randall Cobb with him. Like, that's not going to do it. So, I think he'll bump them up a little bit. I don't know if he has enough around them quite yet to do what those guys did and win a Super Bowl.
Now, we can agree the Jets had to make this move, though, because I agree with what you guys are saying. I think the Jets had to make this move.
The Jets have been like the laughing stock of the league for, you know, or in the, you know, conversation. So, yeah, you have this shot. Absolutely, you got to take it.
And who knows, maybe he could teach Zach Wilson and actually be a competent quarterback in the league. I mean, from what I've seen, Zach Wilson's changed his whole throwing motion to mimic Aaron Rodgers. And if I'm the Jets, the one thing I'm concerned about is health, because that offensive line is
not very good.
Yes, it's not very good. And you talk about the NFC East being a tough division. The AFC East is right there, and they start the season. Granted, it's at home, but it's a gauntlet. The Chiefs, the Dolphins, Buffalo to just lead off the year. I mean, it could be a dumpster fire. I'm not rooting for it, but it could be a dumpster fire. Now, is there anything else you guys want to add about teams before we get to the record prediction?
I just want to ask the draft expert if the rumor is true that the Eagles are going to trade for Jonathan Taylor so they can
have... Oh, that's Swiner. I don't see it happening.
But you didn't let me finish. So they can have the Taylor Swift backfield.
Oh, I heard that on the radio today. God, no. No. Not going to happen. No. He'd be a rental. I mean, Eagles don't pay running backs. Eagles, their entire running back room costs less than Miles Sanders right now, who they let go. I know we have extra draft capital next year, probably get a trade done, but he wants a new contract. Eagles are not going to pay a running back that kind of money. No way.
Where do you see him ending up? Does he go anywhere? Miami?
I have no idea. I was too busy reading about the Eagles fight at training camp today.
Wait, there was an Eagles fight at training camp?
Oh, they had to stop practice.
Well, you got to tell us about that. I mean,
well, it was a joint practice with the Colts before their game Thursday, and apparently Jalen Carter tried to punch the ball out of Richardson's hands, and they didn't like it, the Colts. And then I guess another player, Barnett, who of course has to be in the middle of it, did the same thing. And then their linebacker, Zaire Franklin, took a shot at one of our receivers. Ooh. And then he took a shot at one of our running backs, Gainwell. And the very next play, I guess he did it again. And Jason Kelce, from what I understand, got a running start and absolutely leveled him. And the benches cleared, fight broke out, and they ended practice.
Well, Nick Sirianni is a fighting coach. I will say that. He does show a lot of emotion. And another audience question, which I'll bring up. Okay, so we know with Saquon Barkley, I think he was worth more than what he got paid this year. Again, I'm happy he's with the Giants. I'm happy he put the team first. But what's your guys' opinion on this whole running back situation? We all know not getting paid. We all know they had their little Zoom meeting, but I feel like it didn't make a difference because the next day Saquon Barkley just signed. So unless all the running backs said, yeah, we're not going to walk out, you better just sign this franchise tag and move on. I mean,
I don't know what they – I mean, you have to think about this realistically. If your position gets devalued, right? I mean, every one of us would love to be in a place where if our employer feels like, oh, I don't really want to give him a raise this year, and you just go, well, we think we're worth more, so all of a sudden they give you more money? That's not the way the world works. You know, there hasn't been – who's been the last big-time running back that won a Super Bowl? Like, who was that?
Yeah, last year Pacheco from Rutgers.
Right, so like you go through the last recent history, the running backs have not been big name players. So teams are going, all right, I don't need this spend. I don't have to have that elite guy running the ball for me. So I think it's, I don't know what they really think they're going to get done. Like, are they really going to say, oh, they're right, let's just pay them, even though we really don't want to pay them? Like, that's not going to happen. I don't know what they want to do. They should have switched to positions in college if they want more money, because it's not going to be paid in the running back anymore.
No, you guys are right. And I do know this because I know people that know people in the Giants organization, as you guys know. She does not want to be named, so I'm not going to name her. But the Giants made a fair offer, and reportedly they offered $13 million, and that's kind of what I heard the other day. So – and Barkley also didn't decline the fact that the Giants offered $13 million at the bye week, and they did it one last chance before signing Daniel Jones, because the Giants were perfectly content with franchise tagging Daniel Jones and letting Saquon Barkley – or signing Saquon Barkley, or just letting him walk in general from what I've heard. So In this situation, I got to give John Mara credit and Joe Shane. They made a fair offer. Saquon Barkley probably just wanted, what, Christian McCaffrey-type money? What, he won $16 million? And I love Saquon Barkley. Penn Stater, New York Giant, good face of the franchise. But he's not worth $15 to $16 million. I think 13 is too much. So, unless you guys have anything to add, we'll get to the prediction.
And running back, too. I'm under belief it starts at the offensive line. If you have a good offensive line, can make average running backs look really good. And I told you that when they drafted Barkley. They're going to waste his prime because their offensive line stinks. He's going to get killed. It's just – I just don't believe in investing in that much money in a running back.
No, and I agree with you. I feel bad for Saquon, but I just
– I don't. I'll take the $10
million. Well, he's going to make more. He's in the capital. He's in one of the best places to market yourself in the world. So, look, I think he just overplayed his hand, and that's just my opinion. But
you look at Dalvin Cook, same thing. They let him go.
Yes. Look at Zeke. I'm just going to use him as an example. He overplayed his hand. I think if you went to Zeke, I think he was kind of surprised that the Cowboys actually released him. Just going by what Coach Weber was saying earlier, he was a fan favorite. I think that.
I think he's not dumb either. He had to see the writing on the wall with that contract he signed years ago. And then when Pollard starts, you know, getting the production he was, you can't pay him that kind of money. It's just I was hoping Dallas would. I was hoping they would pay silly money for it, but
all those players are in a very unique situation because as a fan, we all want them to take less money so that the team can be better around them. You know, that's all. We always think that. Like, well, I wish Dak would take a smaller contract so we can spend more money elsewhere. But it's his money, right? It's not my money. And also, the other players in the league want you to try to get as much money for mm-hmm. yourself so that when their time is up, they can look at your contract and say, hey, the last quarterback that went got this, so I should get this plus. You know, so they all have to kind of go for the bigger piece of the pie for their brotherhood in the league. And also, you know, I don't blame them for trying to get as much money as they can. I mean, I would do the same if I could. I'm just not that fast.
Well, we all know I'm not that fast unless I'm running down a hill, which you know. But let's get into the predictions. Well, we always start with the NFC East, and we always say we're going to bring the Washington fan on, but I forgot to invite him this time, so that's on me. I apologize to the audience. Just looking at my notes, I apologize.
I do think Washington's going to be a little bit better than what people think. I mean, that quarterback Howell might be all right, and they're, you know, it's about time the defensive line that they paid for puts it together. It could be interesting.
If Chase Young is healthy, I think that's a game changer right there. He hasn't been healthy the past few years.
Well, they didn't pick up his option, so now he's got to do it this year. He's got to do it this year because now he's going to be a free agent. So
just real quick about Washington, we think they're going to be in last place, right? Because I
think so.
Yeah, yep. I think they're probably there. I do think that doesn't mean they're going to be out of the playoff hunt at the end, though. I mean, I don't see a whole lot of great teams in the NFC that are going to put up a lot of gaudy records. So,
no, I agree with you. I think it's a three-team race or a two-team race right now, to be, if I'm being honest with you. I think the Eagles are the best. Then there's a drop-off of the 49ers. And then I don't know who the third team is right now. I really don't in the NFC. It's very evenly matched. I don't think the Vikings are. But we'll get
everybody's
to that.
Everybody's talking up the Detroit Lions. I mean, I get it. You know, they have a good culture there and things improving, but are they ready to take the big leap? I'm not sure about that.
Who knows? Maybe Sean Clifford will lead the Packers. No, you never know.
But outside of those teams you mentioned, maybe you throw Seattle in there as a decent team. There's not much else in the NFC, right? There's not much else.
I think the Giants and Cowboys could be in the conversation, but it's a big drop off. But I don't know who else. And I guess that leads me to the next point. Who's finishing in third place, the Cowboys or the Giants? I'll let you guys go first.
Giants.
Ooh, I
Whoa.
don't know. That's fair.
You're just trying to suck up to the host. You just want to make it
No,
back next year. That's what you
no,
want.
Giants definitely third. Giants will be 9-8.
Well, what about you, Coach Weber? Because I think the Giants will. Well, I'll get to that in a minute.
No, I think all the I think the Redskins could be around 500. And I think all the other teams in the NFC East are, you know, in the playoffs. I think they're all up there. They're all, you know, I think the Eagles are the best team right now. I do think the 49ers, you know, if their quarterback wasn't a fluke, you know, we'll see what happens there. I think the Cowboys, if they can stay healthy, have a shot. But I just think the Giants will be up there too, and there's just not much else out there. The same, you know, like I just don't see a whole lot of depth in the NFC.
No, I agree with you, and I'll just say it. I think it's a toss up. I'll take my fandom out of it. I think it's a toss up who finishes in second and third place. I think you're going to see what you saw last year: three teams coming from the NFCs to go into the playoffs. I mean, I think the Giants, their schedule is hard because they play their first seven games. Five of them are on the road because obviously Aaron Rodgers has to have prime time at home. And then one home game is against the Jets because the AFC East plays the NFC East this year. So I could see the Giants winning nine games, but I think that's enough to get in. It was enough to get in last year. So I don't know. Let's go to the AFC. Who, after the Chiefs, because in my opinion, they are the best team in the whole NFL. Who's after them? Is it Buffalo? Is it the Jets? Is it the Bengals? What do you guys think? Or the Chiefs could be number two.
I kind of like Baltimore for some reason. I'll throw them out there as a maybe it maybe as like this is the year they put it all together.
Well, they got Odell Beckham. They got that wide receiver he's been begging for, and they got a happy quarterback. Who, if he's healthy, he's one of the best in the league. He was an MVP candidate a few years ago.
That's a brutal division they got there. They got Cincinnati in that division. Yeah, even like Pittsburgh could take a jump up a little bit.
Yeah,
That's
that's a. I said the AFC outside of maybe the AFC South. I mean, that's a really tough conference. There's a lot of good teams there.
yeah, you got the Chargers who could be good. You got the Bills, the Dolphins.
Yeah.
I mean, what
I mean,
about?
imagine looking at the AFC East and going, can't wait till we get to the Patriots. They're the worst team
Yeah.
there. And you got to go against Belichick.
Who always gets the most out of his teams, I'll say that.
Yeah.
Even if it's a, even though he has been proved of cheating, didn't affect the Giants, but it affected somebody's team in 2004. Anyway.
Ain't cheating, you ain't trying, Benny.
Well, and if there's anything else you guys want to say on the NFL, I think we covered everything. I do want to talk about the baseball scene for a few minutes, but
I would
oh,
just
your
say
Super
this.
Bowl predictions.
Yeah, I was going to say the Super Bowl, you know, I think the obvious, you know, everybody's saying the best two teams are the Chiefs and Eagles. When was the last time there was a repeat matchup?
I don't know. I don't know if that's ever happened.
It definitely happened.
You mean repeat? Well, the Giants and Patriots
But it wasn't
have
back to
repeat.
back.
No, yeah, not back to back. Jets have only been to one.
Come on, how,
49ers.
why would I know that it happened before?
Oh, it's Dallas, isn't it?
Dallas Buffalo, I think, is the only time it's happened back to back. Even the Cowboys Steelers matchups of the 70s were never back to back. So the odds are we're not going to see a Chiefs Eagles rematch. So
do you guys think the Chiefs will be in the Super Bowl this year?
I think it's so, I mean, there's good, but boy, it's so tough to repeat. I'm going to say no.
Who do you think's going to replace him?
Boy, another good question.
Do you need a minute to think about it?
Cincinnati. My guts tell me they're going to. I'm going to go Cincinnati.
That's not a bad choice. I'm not just saying that because Joe Burrow, he might have a chip on his shoulder. I mean, think of all the heartbreaking games he's lost in his career in the playoffs. I mean, same thing with Josh Allen. I mean, you talk about someone that's lost some bad games in the playoffs. Josh Allen has lost some tough games in the playoffs. Again, the NFC, and we'll get to the NFC in a minute. It's like the AFC is a gauntlet. Like you could say both Buffalo could break through, Miami could break through, the Ravens, the Chiefs could go back to back, not win it, but just go to back to back Super Bowls. The Jets, but in the NFC, it's like the Eagles are really good. 49ers, if they have a quarterback, which is the biggest piece on the field, in my opinion. So I could see it. Being the Bengals, Coach Webber,
I'll stick with my Ravens. I just you got to pick a dark horse, so I'll just take the Ravens. I say they made Lamar happy, so he's gonna have a great season in this new offense of theirs.
All right, the NFC.
I shouldn't do it. I'm gonna go. I never do it. So I'm going to go with my birds. They're going. If I say anything else, it's just reverse psychology on it. I do think it's going to be the Eagles or the Cowboys. I don't think the 49ers are getting back. I don't think the 49ers are going to be it. Unless the 49ers get home field advantage. If one of the teams from the East get home field advantage for the playoffs, the one seed, it's that team. And I'll just say, if Eagles stay healthy, it's the Eagles.
I agree with you, but I don't want to pick. It's like last year. I predicted the Eagles to make the Super Bowl last year. I went back and listened to the show last year to get prepared for today, coming back from baseball. And I predicted the Eagles, and I'm going to do it again. I didn't predict them to win it, but I predict them to be in it. So, unfortunately, as much as it pains me, because – A lot of my Giants brothers and sisters in the fan base, including the Talking Giants John Boy Media, they hate the Cowboys more than they hate the Eagles. For me, it's the opposite. If there's one team I want to see fail, it's the Eagles. Maybe it's because I lived out here. But I'm going to have to go Eagles. Coach Webber?
Well, I agree with exactly what you just said. You know, there's only one team I don't want to see win, and that's the Eagles. So, but I do think, like I said in the very beginning, I think their front office is just on another level right now. You know, they'll get to the trade deadline. They'll make some moves and add some people where other teams will be too cautious to do it. And they'll get back there.
What I will say is there's always a dark horse in the NFL to at least make things interesting. It happens every year. The Giants, I think last year, even though they didn't make it to the Super Bowl, no one expected them to go as far as they did. So could happen again in the NFC this year and take that step. I mean, the 49ers after the Eagles are the most talented team. It's just, I don't know who their quarterback is. Is it Sam Darnold? Is it Trey Lance? Is it Brock Purdy? Like, who is it? So we all agree Eagles. Are they going to win the Super Bowl this year? I know it's early. Are they going to win it? Or is the AFC going to win it?
Well, certainly hope they don't win it.
Well, I'll never pick them to win a Super Bowl.
I was in Florida the last time when the Super Bowl was played. I wasn't coming back if the Eagles won the Super Bowl.
Just imagine. Coach, are you going to pick the Eagles?
Oh, God. No, I'm going to pick the Cincinnati Bengals. There's my reverse psychology. I got them there. So I'll go with the Bengals.
And how will you feel? Let's just say this happens. How will you
if
feel?
I'll be more upset.
Okay.
I'll be more upset.
No, you have to be more upset. I mean, your team is built to win now. And in the NFL, it's not like baseball where your window can be open for a couple seasons unless you're the Mets and you decide to collapse. Football, the window can close so quick. But also, as we've seen with the Eagles and the Giants, the Cowboys have never really went through a rebuild in my lifetime that I can remember. Rebuilds in the NFL can also be quick. So it'll be interesting as we transition more over now to the baseball, because I got a lot of questions about the Cincinnati Reds from my audience. Now, Coach Weber, as he normally says in April, it's football season. We're getting ready for football season. Well, the Reds are getting ready to make the playoffs. So, Coach, how are you feeling about your Reds? Because I'm rooting for them, kind of. Obviously, I'm rooting for the Mets to get back in the race. Not happening. But I kind of like the Reds. They're a young team. And I also like the Orioles, too.
He's a Philly fan right now. He's got to hope the Phillies beat the Giants, even though they're losing right now.
I don't know if I could root for the Phillies. I'd rather anyway. I mean, the Reds are exciting. I mean, it's – really, it was really disheartening, you know, the last couple of years when you see them dismantle things. You know, they when they had the really good teams with Dunn and those guys, Cueto, they waited too long to dismantle it as a small market team. And then they got, you know, the trades for like Aroldis Chapman, they got nothing. Cueto, they got nothing. Adam Dunn, they got nothing. Like, they got nothing for any of those guys. So I think they were smart this time by trading some of these guys like Luis Castillo and those guys, Suarez, Winker, you know, like they made it. It was tough to watch though, because the guys were pretty good. I never expected to see all these guys up this year and playing. You know, I think the question is, and this is a good one for Coach here, is, you know, is it detrimental to bring some of these guys up this young where they might struggle a little bit, or would you rather have waited and let them have a lot more success in the AAA level and then bring them up? Because right now they're all up there and some of them are getting exposed and they're going to have to learn at the big stage. Like Ellie De La Cruz he's struggling. And now what do you do to him? Do you send him back down? Do you keep him up? It's a tough one. I don't think they have the pitching yet. They need to get, as a matter of fact, I heard today Lodolo, who they were waiting for to come back, had another stress reaction in his shin, so he might be done for the year. I just don't think they have the pitching, but it's exciting. It's really exciting, and they literally only have one guy under contract next year. That's it. You know, all the other guys are on their rookie stuff, right? So they don't have a. The only guy that's under contract is Hunter Green. The entire roster, you know, they have an option for Joey Votto. They'll probably decline that. So they don't have anybody under contract. They'll all be rookie contracts and stuff like that. So they should have control of these guys for about 7 years. So we'll see in the next 7 years if they can put the right decisions around them to bring people in. Like, they're going to need some pitching to take them over the top.
No, I agree with you guys, and I want Coach to answer that question that you phrased, because I know you guys did it at a much smaller level of competition, but you guys, when you won the district championships, you had some young teams. I know the last time we won it, I can say we because I went to Parkland, we won it in 15, that was a veteran team, but the years before that, they were younger teams, so what is your thoughts on it?
But those younger guys didn't have to be the main person. There was always an upperclassman there to do some. Like in 2014, you had, you know, Gabe Moser pitching. So like the Connor Higgins and the Retchikos didn't have to be the number one. The year before that, when they were really young, we had Tyler Duff stepped up as a senior, and then you had Gabe as a junior and Connor Redd as sophomores, and you had like an Alex Flynn who could pitch. So they got their feet wet without having to be the guy. So we were just fortunate during those years. We always had, you know, some senior leadership on those teams. I swear by that. That was the key. You had those seniors, and they had great attitudes, and they helped the young guys along, which was a huge, huge help to show those young guys the right way to play and to be a good teammate. That just carried over from year to year.
Yeah, yeah. Parkland's always a good coacher.
Coach hit it completely right on the head right there. It's, you know, you bring them up when they don't have to. Before you need them to be the man, you bring them up so that they learn the mistakes, they learn the ropes in a lesser role. And then when you need them to be ready, then they've had that experience. And he hit it, as usual, right on the head there.
Now, what's your expectations? Let's just say they make the postseason. What do you think they could win the wild card series? It's a 3-game series. I don't think you'll say they're going to win the World Series, obviously, but do you think they could put it together and make some noise, as I like to say?
I don't think they have the pitching. You know, when you get to those series, it becomes, you see better pitchers, right? You see you don't get to the fifth man in the rotation and things like that. That's the piece they're missing right now. They just don't have that shutdown guy. You know, now some nights they're pretty good. You know, Ashcraft can be pretty good on certain nights. Hunter Green can be like terrible one day and awesome the next. So that's going to be their problem. When you get to those short series, it's marquee pitchers and they're not quite there. It would be awesome for their progression if they could get in, right? And just experience it, get over that, learn from it. And if they happen to win a couple, great, but the experience would be awesome. I just don't think they have the top end pitching.
One last thing on the Reds, and then we have a few more questions. Did you want them to buy at the deadline, or did you want them to stand pat like they did?
I'm more of a realist. I think at the time they were playing really well, and it was really enticing for them maybe to jump in and sell some guys. But I think they were smart enough to know as well that they're not quite ready. This is a little bit faster than they were expecting. And I think they would have wasted a little bit. They're not quite there. And I mean, the one thing I will say is now that stuff's starting to come out as to who they were going after, they were going after guys that could be there for 3-4 years. They weren't going after. They were going after Brady Singer, who has some contract left. So it was smart that they were trying to go for those guys. It wasn't going to be a rental that they give up prospects for. It was going to be a guy that could be there for multiple years and then kind of take those lead roles in the rotation. So they had the right idea. The deals didn't come through. I'm okay with it. But, you know, you never know. You never know. It's tough, though, when in baseball particularly you get hot and you have a chance to get in the playoffs. I think the Phillies proved that last year. You know, they were up and down, inconsistent, but they got hot at the right time. Didn't matter what seed they were. They were the best National League team at that time of year. So, but I think it was too early.
One last thing on the Reds, and I just popped in my head. Do you think they need to bring in a Dusty Baker-type manager? Do you think – or do you let this manager – what's it, David Bell's his name, right?
David Bell, yeah. I don't know. I'm worried a little bit. Well, I don't – he's an okay manager in my book. You know, I think they've always been grooming Barry Larkin as to, you know, he's never really managed, but he's kind of been in that – he's in the booth right now talking, and I think they all assume that he'll be the next manager. He's been in their player development and stream and all that kind of stuff. I think it reminds me of the Sixers when they had, what was the coach that they had through the process? And then when they got to got to be close, they, got rid of him. That could happen. That could happen. But I think it'll be somebody like a Barry Larkin, somebody like that. That's an icon in Cincinnati and has been in their system like coaching, but they're not quite ready for that.
No, I think that just that covers all the Reds talk. Now let's shift over to the Phillies. They have a no-hitter from a former Red, which, of course, they had to get a no-hitter.
Thanks.
Yeah, then when he lost not even two innings the next time he faced them, that was typical Phillies.
Are you negative?
They're so frustrating and pain. Honestly, they're painful to watch. They are. I just don't have a good feeling about them.
Do you think they make the playoffs?
Yes. They're scheduled. Because they're number one wild card right now, they're in a good spot. And they do have the final stretch here. I saw some. They have a lot more home games. So that should help.
Mm-hmm. And you think they're going to have a devastating loss in the postseason?
I don't know if it'd be devastating, but they're going to lose.
I'll say this. If I'm a Phillies fan, in my opinion, your window's closing. At least with the Reds, if you don't make it this year, you have six more years. Or five. Let's say they start trading pieces away. With the Mets, their farm system got really good because they traded away the veteran players. With the Phillies, this core is just getting older, if you know what I mean.
They still have some, Alec Bohm's having a good year. Stott's turning into a real good player. You got Brandon Marchand centered. They have another guy, Matos, that's been playing some center that can fly. So they do have some youth in there.
But baseball doesn't have a salary cap. So when these guys get old, they can eat their contracts and go get other people. The window's not going to disappear for them. They have too much money.
That is true. And an audience member left this question. You guys can both answer this. Coach Robert can go first. If you were commissioner for 1 year, what are some changes you would make to the game? I think three changes you'd make to the game. I modified the question a little bit.
Well, every time I talk to you guys, I say baseball needs a cap. So that's definitely.
I'm actually for that too. Even though my Phillies spend, I like a cap.
I just look at, they have, I get it. Like they don't just like, they don't want to have to potentially give up money that they could be making. But the fan bases, like the popularity of the NFL taking over has to do with the fact that you can be a competitor in a couple of years. And there's some teams like the Reds, literally, this could be the last window in my lifetime. That's how long it could take. This 7 years, when they have to sell that off and they have to live through another, 10 years of it, it's to that point. So, it becomes easy to tune out of baseball if you're not in one of the teams that can go out and spend the money. Now, look, Tampa Bay proves it. Generally, they can do it without the money. Baltimore is starting to do it. Those teams can do it, but they're flashes in the pan, most of them, and the rest of the teams can't figure it out. So they need the money to do it, and they make one bad decision or two bad decisions like the Reds did when they gave Homer Bailey the money. It sank them for 10 years. They just couldn't get anybody else. They had to wait for his contract to go away. It's a tough one. So I think the cap would be definitely my number one. I don't know if I have two others. I used to like the pitcher hitting just because I was a traditionalist, but I get it with the DH. I kind of like that as well. Go ahead.
I again, I'm a pitching guy. So maybe it's just my pitching in me. I hate that you can only throw over three times. I think they have to make that rule like five or six.
Yeah, it gets ridiculous after they do it. So they know you can't throw over anymore.
Yeah.
I would change that one.
I would, if obviously baseball, I know they don't have a clock anymore, but in my opinion, they do have a clock. It might not be like the NFL where it's, this is going to be over in 15 minutes, a quarter, but if the pitch isn't thrown in 15 seconds, it's going to be a ball or a strike. And I like the pitch clock. I'm not going to lie. I like the faster games. And my dad and I were talking about it. He said, I don't know if they took out the pitch clock, if I could go back to 4-hour games. I don't know if I could do it because, you know, you got the batter taking forever to get in the batter's box. The pitcher's always stepping off or taking forever. So I do like the pitch clock. You can modify it if you want to add more seconds to it, make it 30 seconds or whatever. But the one rule I want to change and modify is they have to add more pickoffs because, you know, after the first pickoff, the runners are going to go and steal the base 99% of the time. So I don't know how you guys feel about that or how Coach Weber feels.
I really like the clock and making the games quicker. I do think they could have accomplished that by calling a little bit bigger strike zone on the, you know, a little bit higher strike zone. You know, even in the high school games, when we go, the best games you get is when you have an umpire calling strikes. You're going to get a good quality baseball game. It's going to be 3-2, 2-1, something around there. You get somebody that's tight with the zone, that's when you get all the pitches being taken. You know, then pitchers struggle. It slows the game down. So had they expanded the strike zone a little bit, basically go back to what the rule book says about, you know, across the letters, that would have accomplished the same thing. Now, because they couldn't do that, this is the next best thing as far as I'm concerned. I agree with you. The throwing over thing is kind of weird. You have to be smart about when you do it, but I like the faster games.
I think we're all in agreement on that. I just can't go back to 4-hour games. I love baseball. I'm following the Mets right now. I know the season's over, and I follow them every night, but if they were 4.5-hour games or 3.5 hours or four, I don't know if you're going to keep my attention for all that. It was tough when my team was in it last year to watch those games because it's not like there's action. It's just like, go ahead.
You know, my philosophy is I record the games and then, you know, only watch specific ones, you know, like when my teams win. Outside of football, I watch the football games live, but most of the other ones I watch on delay. And it used to be nice in the past. What I would do, if you hit the DVR button one time in between pitches, it usually got you right to the next pitch. So uh-huh. I was doing what they did with the DVR, and now they've taken that away from me, so I don't have to do that as much. Same concept, though. Eliminate that. So, and you know, the people that it bugs the most, Ben, is the people who are not truly baseball strategists. You know, I think the three of us could watch a game and even the 4-hour game, and you can kind of see like the what's going on, what's the strategy, what are they trying to do in those lulls, like the lulls. But to somebody who's just new to the game or just wants some entertainment, it can't compare to football and some other things, even hockey, with the speed and pace of play. So, you know, whereas we're watching the shading and the communication and the signs, they're just waiting for the next pitch. And, you know, it's boring to them. I get it.
I get it too. And I guess here, I'm going to cut these questions short. There are a lot of questions. My audience, and I got a big audience now, thanks to you guys especially, but they love you guys. I can't stress that enough. The audience loves when you guys come on. They request it a lot. Anyway, they love this the most. Any new TV shows the draft expert's watching, they love when he used to rant about The Walking Dead. So is there any show there that Coach has either rewatched or is watching now that he wants to talk about and enlighten the audience?
No, I watched on Netflix the Johnny Football. Mm-hmm. Did you see that one on Johnny Manziel?
I did.
Yeah, I like that one. It was an interesting one. There hasn't been too much on lately.
Mm-hmm. You got to watch Curb Your Enthusiasm. You would like that show.
Yeah, you keep telling me. I keep forgetting.
It's Larry David, the guy who did the more funnier Seinfeld episodes. Now, it is darker humor, but it's humor I guess I'm used to because the older Jewish people have that humor. So for me, it's like it was going to my grandparents' house or my great aunt's house and hearing those jokes. So maybe to an outsider, they wouldn't get it as much, but obviously people like it because they keep renewing it. I think it's on its 20th season, and I think a lot of the episodes still hold up. The new ones still hold up. But, yeah, who knows? Coach Weber, are you watching anything interesting?
Unlike the retired coach, my colleague here, I still have practices and things to go to, so I'm not as free as the draft expert is. So, I watch what my wife's watching.
At least, are you guys already started up? Like, has baseball started?
Next Wednesday, Wednesday Night Lights.
Make sure you get that field drug. There's weeds all over the dirt.
I know. I finally knew somebody at the school district that could help me out.
Coach Spade, he'll have that manicured.
Coach Spade, when are we going to get Coach Weber up here to Penn State? Can I get him up here now? Because I'm going to have a key card to get into
Ohio State's not there this year, so he can't be there for that.
No, I'm not going. If I told you guys before, if we get in the state championship in high school, I'm not even going to go up to the state championship game. I'm going to just jump in. Not doing it. I said I would go up when Nick Pinchak was playing. I would go up if Jopa would put him in the game, but he never really played him, so I wasn't going to go up for that. I think I was there once. I do think as a kid, my brother played basketball for Bloomsburg, and they played Penn State one year, and they lost by one, and Bloomsburg had a tip-in that just went out at the end, and I was there, and now looking back, it was at Penn State, so I guess I was there, but I don't need to go back.
I think you would enjoy it for a day. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I know, Coach, your daughters are a year ahead of me, so they just graduated.
Yep.
It's nice up here. It can be annoying, but it's nice for the most part. I enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, going to go down to Doggy's Pub,
Still haven't been in there. The line was too long last time. I would have went, but the line was just like
way too long. Oh, it's crazy. It's ridiculous.
And I think you know me. Coach Weber knows me. I don't like to really wait in lines. especially after coaching a game, I was pretty tired. But you're gonna come up for a couple games, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I don't know which one. I know my kids are going up week one when they play West Virginia. Tickets are a little expensive for that, so I don't know. I hate their schedule. I was thinking playing Delaware and UMass. I mean, I can get free tickets for those, but I don't feel like making the drive to watch that junk. And then your whiteout games, Iowa, those ticket prices are ridiculous. Maybe I might. There's a chance I go for the Michigan game. There's a chance. Michigan, maybe Indiana, maybe.
Now, I'm usually working the football games, but I'm doing that more for my degree. So only tickets I bought right now are for the whiteout game, because that's the only game that I'm willing to not get my internship hours. I already told them. I said it's my last whiteout game. I'm going to that. But I guess Michigan I'll try to go. I mean, it's the ones where Coach Spay doesn't wants to give me his tickets. I'll go just to get in, and then I can go over to, because I know the security people. I mean, the same security people do it for everything. So they're like, okay, you're not going to do anything stupid, so you can go in to a section. But, I mean, they're fun. The football games are fun. I think Coach Weber would have fun if he would come up here. Maybe not for Ohio State, but it is an atmosphere that I don't think it's the best atmosphere in college sports. I think that's a little overrated, but it's a good atmosphere.
That's out at Shippensburg, the best atmosphere in college sports.
It's in a Shippensburg has brought out some good products, a baseball product at least.
They got. Ben, I'll make a deal with you. When you're the head baseball coach at Penn State, I'll come up to campus.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to be around here for that. I don't think I want to live here after this year. It's a little expensive up here. I mean, if I'm getting $1 million like some of these coaches, I'll stay. But it's a little expensive for someone like me to stay here any longer than I have to, as much as I enjoy it. God, I mean, you go to the Dunkin' Donuts and you just get a bacon, egg, and cheese and a coffee. And then I look up and it's like $13. And I'm like, what, $13? Are you kidding me?
So that's why you steal all the ketchup packets. I get it.
So do you guys not put ketchup on – is that just a New Jersey thing, like where you put ketchup on your bacon, egg, and cheese? Is that just a New Jersey thing?
No, I've done it before.
I'm just saying, because a lot of my friends look at me like I'm crazy when I do that. So I'm just – I was starting to think maybe it was just me. But I don't know.
I will say when I eat eggs, I don't put ketchup on them. But if I have an egg sandwich, ketchup goes on. So I
do the same thing. Just regular, like, no ketchup, egg sandwich, ketchup.
Yep.
I don't put – when I have eggs, I don't put cheese on them. Like, if it's just plain eggs, or I just have them plain with a little salt and pepper. My grandfather, who passed, he used to make sunny side, but the egg was basically raw. And I tried to eat it with him. Oh, my God. I don't know how he would eat that. He'd have his steaks, like, rare. And Mookie Wilson, who I had dinner with, man, that guy could eat a rare steak. Like, he actually had dinner with us. That guy could eat a rare steak. I'll tell you that. It was like, he said, make it the rarest you could make it. Like, I thought it was still cold.
No, thanks.
Now, is there anything else you guys want to add before we wrap this up? This was really fun, by the way. It's always fun when you guys come on.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think so. So, week one, big giant Cowboy game. Somebody's going to be in last place.
It'll probably be the Giants.
I will say this, Ben. My oldest daughter had the draft expert as a teacher, and he was her favorite teacher. She's not easy to impress. So.
And she didn't even have to bribe me like some of her classmates. That was Wawa gift cards come in handy.
No.
She told me, I said – I said I'm gonna be with your math teacher on a Zoom, and she said, "Tell him I'm no longer with my partner in crime, whatever that
means." Oh yeah.
And I no longer have my partner in crime, and I was like, "What does that mean?" She said, "Hell no." So
there was a girl that sat back there, and those two were always, anytime there was anything that they could work with other people, those two were like joined at the hip. And then some days one would be absent, and I'd be like, "Oh, what are you gonna do today?"
Well, you got a new intern, student intern. What do they call them? Student teachers?
No, I don't want them.
You don't want them anymore?
I haven't wanted my last few. This is a PG show. I can't even tell you about my last one. I can't even tell, like it's. It would have to be something off the air. Like you, like, say, when we go, I'll just give you the synopsis off the air of the last one I had.
Well, you're going to, well, the last one again, this was 4 years ago. When I was a senior, the one you had was all right. Again, I was only in there.
She got hired. She was excellent.
No, she was on the money, I thought. She was
more prepared. She was excellent. But the one after that, yeah, I was. Him, myself, and Mr. Stinner would sit together the one period, and me and Mr. Stinner would just, he would look at me, and my veins were bulging at times. He was just, the clean part I can tell you is he was a very entitled person from one of the richest towns in New Jersey, lived basically next to Bruce Springsteen, multi-million-dollar homes, and when we were having all this rain, my basement already flooded a couple times, and I was sick of renovating it. And we were supposed to get like 5 inches of rain, and I'm panicking in school, panicking. He's going to go on. He turns to me and goes, "You have nothing to get upset about until you lose a multi-million-dollar home." And I was like, "Oh, that's it, buddy. You're done." Like, Stinner heard that. I almost jumped out of my chair. Yeah, so we didn't hit it off too well.
Well, I'm going to have to hear the off-air story now. You piqued my interest. No, but not too many people. We'll end it like this. Not too many people could make the impact the draft expert can in the short amount of time he started his radio career. He has Eli Manning. Yeah, Joe.
Bring them on. Tell them, don't worry, we will not do it on Monday night because I know that's in prime time. Can't handle that. We'll do it. You know, I'll tell you, I wear a David Tyree jersey to make him feel comfortable. Told you.
Hey, if you, Eli, if you want to come on, you're always welcomed. I'll support you till the end. No, but you got Eli, Joe Beningo, who said you were a genius.
I like Eli off the football field. I love his acting, him and Peyton.
I don't know how you couldn't like the Manning brothers off the field. I mean, they seem like just goofballs, to be honest.
Oh, I know often, Eli. I crack up.
And I like their Monday night broadcast. I want the only time I don't watch their broadcast is when the Giants are on, when I have to focus on the Giants, because they have their guest on and I just want to focus on the game. No, but you had Jerry Lee and said you were a good boy. You had Eli Manning make his little comment. You had Joe Beninga. You're getting a pretty good fan base here.
Oh, if we can get a show going, man, I can retire early.
Hey, I told you. I said I'm not the best with names. I told you. You tell your family to come up with the name and come up with a good design, graphic design, because my graphic design skills are terrible. I'll make it work. You could also do it.
I don't know. I'm not that creative.
We could make you the next Frank the Tank. But we could do that. Just give me – I'll rent a camera. I'll bring it down from State College. We'll put it in your little man cave, or I'll give it to somebody to do it, and they just have to make sure nothing breaks. And we could make you the next Frank the Tank. Coach Weber, I think that could happen, right?
I would pay money to have a camera watching Coach as the Eagles were playing or the Phillies were playing.
It's too stressful.
I would love to sit there and watch him, you know, his reaction. We'd have to bleep some stuff out, though, Ben.
You would.
I think we'd have to do that when he retires. I don't know when that is. But
if you can, if you can make it happen, if I can make some money off this, I'll do it anytime.
I wish I could make money off of this. I mean, if I was, I'd be like the big podcaster in the world. I'd do all right for a niche podcast, as I call it. No, but you could be Frank the Tank, because you could do it PG. Or who was that big Eagles follower? That big Eagles guy. Oh, I know. We're not going to say his name on air. I don't want to get demonetized. All right. This was fun. We're going to wrap it up. If everything, we got everything out. Coach Weber, draft expert, do you have anything else? All good?
Cool. Yeah, good.
All right. This has been an edition of the Mets News Podcast with no Mets this week, so my hair's not going gray. Again, I encourage you in the Memphis, Tennessee area, which I have a big following, or deep in the South, because he's big in the South, and overseas. Jerry Lee is very big overseas. This is going to be in theaters. Trouble in Mind, the last documentary, I encourage you all to watch it. I watched it and enjoyed it. So tickets, there will be a link in the bio to the Jerry Lee Lewis website. All proceeds go to the monument that they're building for him out in Faraday, Louisiana. Also, Reverend Jimmy Lee Swaggart, this is in my promo, the cousin of Jerry Lee Lewis, gets interviewed. So you guys like him, follow him, whatever. Stay safe, everybody, and let's hope the Mets can get back into the race.